Amen, amen, amen. What's the will of God? What's the will of God for your life? On earth as it is in heaven. What's the will of God for your family? On earth as it is in heaven. For your business, for your school, for your workplace. On earth as it is in heaven. What's the will of God for Australia? On earth as it is in heaven. Can you imagine what that looks like? Can you imagine what that would look like on earth as it is in heaven? Could you imagine if every believer in the world, like there's a lot of people that say they're believers, right? Could you imagine if every believer in the world released the kingdom of God, shined brightly in the midst of darkness, didn't cower in the face of fear, showed love and peace and joy everywhere they went? What would it actually look like to see on earth as it is in heaven? What would the earth look like if every believer really released what they believed? I love Christmas time because I like eating, and most people do. But our family on both sides, we like to spread out like a big table, a Christmas feast. You know, who loves a Christmas feast? Breakfast is not important on Christmas Day. Lunch is important. Dinner's not super important either. It's lunch. It's a big Christmas lunch, right? It's the Australian way. And our family, we love to do like a Christmas ham, like a nice ham. Who loves ham? I love ham. My mouth is already like starting to water as I'm talking about this. It's a little bit embarrassing. I love a Christmas feast. Some things that I like to see on the table, I like to see fruit on the table, ham on the table. I love when Nanna bakes something and we might have some pastitsis and things like that on the table. On Boxing Day, I love leftovers as well. Leftovers on Boxing Day, so good. Leftovers is usually, I love this one. My mum introduced me to this. It's a ham and mango sandwich. It's amazing. Change your life. Heaven on earth. But I love a Christmas feast, and I know Nanna would always make sure that I'd be setting up right, and she'd always make sure I'd have the you know, the knives and forks in the right area, and I'd have, you know, the glass there and the napkins folded neatly under the plate, and we'd prepare a table for people when they come in. When people would come in, they'd feel comfortable. There was nothing for others to do. You'd prepare a nice Christmas feast or a nice table. And when I think about preparing a table, I feel like that's kind of what we're called to do as Christians for others, that we would actually be called to prepare a table for people to meet with the Lord. You know, John the Baptist, it said of him that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way, prepare a way for the coming of the Lord. And sure enough, one day when John the Baptist was baptizing and preaching that prepare a way, Jesus came in their midst and, you know, lit the place up. It was awesome. Prepare a way for the Lord. We know that Jesus eventually died on the cross, resurrected, ascended into heaven, sent us the Holy Spirit. But he promised us that he's coming back again. And when he's coming back, I still feel that mandate and that mission, prepare a way for the Lord. Prepare a way for the Lord. You know, I don't want my king to come back and look at the world like, geez, what have these Christians done? Man, I gave them stewardship. I gave them authority. I gave them the power of the Holy Ghost. And they're not using it. They're not doing anything with it. They're letting sick people walk past them. They're letting broken people walk past them. They're not sharing the light and the good news that I've put in there. I don't want our king to come back to that. I want him to come back going, oh, I see some tables prepared here. Some people ready to encounter Jesus. Some people ready to receive. Some people ready to meet with their king. I want to be someone that prepares a place. Anyone want to prepare a table with me this morning? Let's be people that prepare a table. I don't want to wait around for Jesus to come back. I want to be one that gets ready to prepare a table for people, to prepare tables in our high schools, to prepare tables in our workplaces, prepare tables in our families, preparing tables for people to meet with Jesus. And this morning, my message is called Releasing the Kingdom, but but I really want to talk a little bit about that funny word we use called evangelism. And evangelism is such a Christianese word. I don't really like it. It simply means to share the good news, to share the good news of Jesus. And so when I think about evangelism, to me, it's not about making people believe exactly what you believe. Like you've got it right and everybody else in the world has it wrong. That everything you believe is true and everything else everyone else believes is wrong and everyone needs to believe what you believe. That is not evangelism, that's arrogance, okay? Jesus didn't go around correcting everyone's mindset. When Jesus saw someone who was sick, he didn't go to them, so do you believe that I'm about to die and resurrect and ascend into heaven? Okay, are you a Catholic or a Pentecostal? Do you believe this or that? Okay, now I'm gonna heal you. He didn't operate like that. It wasn't about him trying to convince everyone to believe exactly what you believe. To me, I see evangelism like preparing a table for people to connect with Jesus, for creating spaces for people to connect with Jesus, for them to hear the good news. Evangelism is more about proclamation than it is about manipulating someone and convincing them to do and believe what you believe. It's really about releasing life and love and sharing the gospel and demonstrating the gospel, demonstrating the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to share in this is that if evangelism is sharing the good news of Jesus, I think we ought to get good at, number one, sharing our testimony, sharing what God's done in our life. But number two, sharing God's story as well. And what's God's story? You know, when you look at the Bible, there's some key things that have happened throughout God's story. And so let me share with you a fun way, a new way. I like sharing different ways, with you of how you can show someone the good news. And so I'm gonna open my lunchbox. And this is using a tea bag. Who likes tea? Oh no, it's all tangled. All right, just give me 30 minutes. Oh, seriously, someone help me. I'm not gonna be able to do this with a microphone. Well, Peely, can you untangle one of those bad boys for me? Well, Peely loves his tea. He's a tea man. Tea or coffee? Who here's for coffee? Okay, hands down. Who's here for tea? See who the real believers are. Do you think Jesus would have been a coffee guy or a tea guy? I don't know. Water? He's a water guy? I reckon he was a wine guy. It's a bit controversial, isn't it? You want a coffee or a tea, Jesus? Oh, just a wine, please. Oh, we need to take this sermon down. This is not gonna be good. How you going, bro? Just stretch your hands to Appealy right now. Father God, just pray in Jesus' name. He's almost there in faith. Well, we're going to forget about that illustration today. No, I've got something else I can share with you in the meantime while Appealy graciously works on the tea bags. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, oh, praise the Lord. One, I'll have the other bad boys just in case it happens again. No, it's all right. Just you can play with them. It's fine. Take it back. It'll keep you occupied during the sermon. No, thank you, man. Here's a way you can share the gospel with a tea bag. All right. This is God's story mixed in with your story as well. And so thanks, mate. Appreciate you. If anyone's thirsty after service, you know where to go. This is vanilla chai, actually. Vanilla chai is really nice. Where's my mic stand? Thank you, Jesus. When you look at God's story and our story, you can kind of see that, oh, hello. You can see that that when God created the world, he created it in unity and he created it to be beautiful and he said it's good. But then it was us, it was humanity who chose to step outside of God's will, to be independent of God, and we did our own thing, and that's called sin. And that led us down a downward spiral of sin. But then Jesus came into the earth and he revealed to us who God really was, And he changed our mind about who God is, that God is a loving Father. He died on the cross for forgiveness of our sins. He resurrected, rose again, and sent the Holy Spirit. But he promises this, that if you would repent of your sins and believe in him, then he would change your heart and make you a new creation, a son and a daughter of God. And so this is kind of what's happened to some of us, is like a teabag, Jesus has actually set me apart from the world and broken the chains and the bondage of sin. And what he actually did was, I'm going to use the scissors because this one's stapled, praise the Lord. He didn't just break me away from the world, but he actually poured out all my dirt, all my mess and all my sin, and he emptied it like so. And he made me clean, a righteous vessel, ready to be filled with his Holy Spirit. I'm just going to open this up a little bit. And then he caused me and gave me strength to stand on his word, stand in truth and not be shaken. And then, got a bit of fire here. I told Pastor Rob, I'm like, I'm not going to set the church on fire. A little bit crazy, not that crazy. Did it blow away? Stop it. Oh no. Stay in Jesus' name. And then after, no one breathe, stop breathing. Trust me, it's going to be good. No, it's not.
This is where I need Ophelia's help.
That's good. All right. And then, really quickly, he sets us on, it died. Let's try again. It's going to be so good. When you see this, so he set me apart from the world, breaks the chains. Set me apart. Poured out my sin, my dirt. Cleaned me up. And then, somebody say and then. And then Keynes gets his sermon illustration, right? Oh, that's why I didn't cut it properly. Oh, see, I practiced this at home multiple times. It worked one time out of 10, so. I'm kidding, it was good the whole time. All right, then he causes you, if you're going to try this with a friend, bring some extra tea bags. Oh. Should be using what? Twinings? You know what it is? It's because I'm not cutting it evenly, so maybe that will do it. All right. This is really my whole sermon, just the tea bag. So once this is over, we can bring the worship team up and go home.
All right, there we go.
Sets us on fire with the Holy Spirit, and then it falls over again. Dang it! One more time. This will change somebody's life this morning. And if not, at least you'll have some joy to go home with. Sets me apart from the world. Pulls out my dirt, my sin. Calls me to be a vessel. You'll never forget it, ever in your life. And if you do,
in the lunchbox.
It's good.
Wait for it.
And then we rise. Okay. It's just the wind of the Holy Ghost blowing in here, knocking it over. But when I tried it at home, there was no breeze in the house, and I put it on the kitchen bench, and you stand it up and you light it on fire, and as the fire fills it, it actually picks up in the air and starts floating in the air. And it's really cool. And what I was trying to say, he sets you apart, he empties out our sin, and then he set me on fire with the Holy Spirit, and he caused me to rise in his presence and live from his presence. So don't give me a sympathy clap. I don't need it. I actually do, thank you. I feel much better about myself today. So we're talking about sharing the good news, sharing God's story, sharing our story. There's different ways we can do that with others, and teabag is one of them. It's not a very successful way, as you learned this morning. Don't do it in a windy place, it won't work. But I want to talk about the heart of the Father really quickly in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says this. It might be on the screens, and it may not be. It says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. Yeah, that's right. Not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should receive, come to repentance." And reach repentance, my version says, but come to repentance. The Lord is not slow. This is what God's saying is, he doesn't actually want anyone to perish. That's the Father's heart. So you know what happens when I see someone and I see a friend or a stranger or someone that I sense compassion towards. And I thought, man, I wish they could know the Jesus that I know. I wish they could meet the Jesus that I've met. I wish they would know him. Or maybe they need healing. Maybe they need prayer. Maybe they need something in their life. And I wish they could receive Jesus the way I've received him. It's not really about how I feel. The very fact that I have that desire is because the Father's put it in me. And so it takes a lot of pressure off. Who's ever felt like, man, I feel like I wish that person would know Jesus, but then you feel like really nervous and you don't know how to share with them. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. And you're just like, oh, I just don't know if it's going to happen or not. Or like, oh, and you feel the weight of that. That can all go when you start to realize that the Lord actually doesn't want anyone to perish. And so if that's the Father's heart, it's so much easier to release the kingdom and share the good news of God with people. So much easier. He doesn't want anyone to perish. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were at Sunshine Coast. Pastor Denise and Claire and I were on the Sunshine Coast for state conference, for our ACC state conference. And there was a moment where I went for a walk on the beach and I caught up with another friend from up north, and we were chatting and walking around the beach, and he started to share his testimony. And I started to share my testimony, and we were just celebrating the goodness of God, sharing about what God set us free from. And we actually started to talk about how God set us free from our old lifestyles. And I started to share how, you know, when I was in high school, all I wanted to do on the weekend was go to a party so I could try and drink with my friends, and some of my friends would bring drugs and weed and stuff like that, and how we were caught up in that lifestyle. And how that lifestyle really was, we were a slave to it. But then when I had an encounter with Jesus, it changed my life, and I realized I was set free, poured out the dirt, and set me on fire. And so as we're sharing about that, a stranger walks up to us, and it was so funny, we both like were shocked for 3 seconds. He walked up to us and he said, "Hey, do you guys know I can get weed around here?" I'm telling you, like, I just used that word like 5 seconds ago. I was like, you know, I'm so thankful, man, that God has set me free from that stuff and from using weed and all that sort of thing. And this guy walks up, "Do you guys know I can get some weed around here?" And we both looked at each other like, what's happening? And I said to him, I said, I don't know where I can get you some weed. I said, best I can give you is Jesus. And he said, "What's that gonna do for me?" I said, "Lift your hands, fire!" No, I did it. I said, "Well, mate," I said, "we were just actually sharing our stories. We were just catching up. We don't know each other really well. And my friend shared his story about how he was a drug dealer and how God set him free from that lifestyle. And I shared my testimony and how God set me free. And how I said, most people run after that stuff, run after drugs because they're trying to fill a void on the inside. They feel broken and empty, and they're trying to have something else to make them feel better instead of actually dealing with the problem within." And I said, "Do you relate to that?" And he goes, "Yeah, I do, man. Like, yeah, I get really angry and I get, you know, really frustrated and like I'm pretty messed up on the inside. And I take that stuff to try and calm me down. And that's why I'm looking for a hit right now. And I said, well, dude, I can tell you this. In the presence of God, you can find freedom and healing for exactly what you need. I said, there is a high in the presence of God that compares to no other. I said, would you like to know about it? He said, yeah, please. And so my friend and I, Daniel and I, we said to this guy, like, open up your hands. And he opened up his hands like this. He didn't need to, but we did. And we just put our hands on his shoulder. And we just begin to pray for him. And we said, Holy Spirit, would you begin to show him how much you love him? Lord, would you begin to wash him in your presence and in your love right now? And all the pain and all the guilt he's feeling and all the anger that's stored up inside, Lord, I thank you that he would just sense your peace and your joy right now. This guy's standing there and he's like starting to rock a little bit. And he opened his eyes. I said, how do you feel, mate? And he said a few colorful words. He said, oh, I feel beep good, like really good. Really good is what he was trying to say. And he's like, what did you do to me? I said, not much. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. He's showing you that he's here, mate. I said, he loves you, bro. He wants to come and live inside of you. That same feeling that you're sensing right now, he actually wants to come and live inside of you so you'd be never alone again. And he said, how do I do that? I want that. So we shared with him how he can do that. We taught him how to pray, and he prayed a prayer of repentance and asked Jesus to be the Lord of his life. And the next day ended up in church. It was amazing. On the Sunshine Coast somewhere. I don't know what church it was, but I saw in his story, he was out partying that night and the next morning he was in church. And later my friend Dan got a word of knowledge about his hip and said, hey, you've got something wrong with your left hip. And he goes, yeah, I do. So we prayed for him and his hip gets healed and he felt it all loosened up and everything. And this guy had an encounter with God. Because we didn't just talk to him about Jesus. We didn't just tell him like, hey, mate, you know, you're looking for weed, but really you need to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. Otherwise you're going to hell. We didn't talk to him like that. We demonstrated the kingdom. We gave demonstration because when you demonstrate the kingdom, people meet the king. And so that's what we did. And all of you have access to that because if you're a son and a daughter of God, then the kingdom is within you. It's within you. You don't have to call it down. It's within you and you can release it and bring other people into the kingdom. And so that was an amazing story. But I want to tell you this morning, God wants to make you a magnet for miracles. He wants to make you a magnet for miracles. The Bible says in Mark 16, it says, these signs follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. Goes on to say, they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs follow you who believe. Anyone believe this morning? Then you are a magnet for miracles. You just got to believe it. I tell you, man, like since I started to believe this scripture, I find sick people flock to me. I used to get annoyed about it. I used to get really frustrated with it. People would always tell me their problems. And I'm like, why do people keep telling me all their problems? Like, this is really annoying. Like, everyone always just complains to me all the time about everything going wrong in their life. And then I realized, wow, it's actually because I've got a hope within me that they need right now. And God's looking for someone to send them to, and you're the closest thing to Jesus on the earth, and so he's sending them to you. And if you've been sensing that lately, maybe broken people have been flocking to you. Don't be upset about it. You're a magnet for miracle working power. These signs follow those who believe, and that is something to be excited about. We were at Schoolies this week. I'm gonna end on this story, and worship team, please come and join me, and maybe someone can help me move this as well. It'd be great. There's a lot of vanilla chai there. It smells really good, actually. We were at Schoolies this week. I wasn't a toolie. I was red frogging, volunteering. Yime was there as well, and Paul and Jacob and a couple guys from our church. And we had a great time at Schoolies serving the generation that was there. And I carried a lot of vomit bags, carried a bit of vomit on my shoe, became a vomit bag, walked a lot of people home, had a lot of fun getting to meet some of the Schoolies that were there. There's this one girl at the gate one night. We just finished praying in the car, driving to the gate of the party at Airy Beach in the central area there. And in the car, I said, God, we haven't had many good moments this week. We've had a lot of sick people, but Lord, I pray for someone to encounter you tonight. We hopped out of the car, walked to our station. As soon as we got there, there's a group of Schoolies standing at the gate waiting for their tickets. And thanks, Nathan. Give it up for Nathan. What an amazing man of God. You can have that as a gift, Nathan. If you like tea, feel free to take that home. Strain it. It can be yours. We're standing at this gate, and at the gate, there was these schoolies, and we just started saying, hey, you want a red frog? They take a red frog. And some of them ask us, they're like, do these make us sober? Why do you give red frogs? Are they making us sober? And we're like, no, they're just lollies. Like, have a lolly. And this one group, we started chatting with them, and I said, oh, what are your names? And one girl, her name was Eve. Eve. And I said, oh, did you know that's a Bible name? And of course, 18 years of being called Eve, of course you'd know it's a Bible name. Silly question to ask. And she goes, yeah, I do. I said, Eve, I said, I see you've got like something on your wrist. She had a cast on her wrist. She said, yeah, I do. I broke my thumb. How'd you do it? She told us how she broke her thumb, and this brace was there. And she's like, yeah, it sucks because I can't really do anything, and I've got to be really careful in the mosh pit dancing and stuff at schoolies. I can't really go out swimming or anything because it'll be sore. And she's telling us all the problems wrong with her wrist, her thumb. And I said to her, I said, well, look, I said, can I tell you a crazy story, Eve? She goes, yeah, sure. I said, well, let me tell you two. I said, first of all, I said, you know Eve in the Bible had three sons? She goes, oh, yeah, sure. I said, do you know their names? She goes, yeah. She didn't know. I said, their names were Cain, Abel, and Seth. And I said, and my name's Cain, so it's nice to finally meet you, Mum. And she was so weirded out by that. She was like, okay, yeah, cool, well, we gotta go. I said, no, before you go, I've got another crazy story to tell you. I said, settle down, you guys. I'm trying to wrap up this service. I said to her, I said, let me tell you one more crazy story. I said, do you believe in miracles? And she goes, oh, yeah, I do. You ask people that question, you'll be surprised how many people say, yeah, I do believe in miracles. They may not be religious, but they'll say, yeah, I believe in miracles. I said, do you believe in miracles? She goes, yeah, I do. I said, well, let me tell you a story. I said, I was at Burger Urge one night with this guy right here. Jacob was standing beside me, and he was working on shift. And I said, and there was a lady there who had a brace on similar to yours, and she had broken her wrist. And I said, and we prayed for her, and she was healed in Jesus' name. She had full mobility back in her wrist again. And I said, and Jacob was there. He wasn't a Christian at the time, but he witnessed it, and it sowed a seed in his heart. Now he's coming along to our church. I said, how cool is that? She goes, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I believe in that stuff. I said, cool. Would you let us pray for your wrist, for your thumb? She goes, yeah, please. And she put out her thumb, and I said, we all put our hands on her, and I put my hands over her thumb, and I said, Father, I thank you for Mummy. I pray. I did. I actually said it. I just wanted to break the ice a little bit. Father, I thank you for Mummy. She giggled. I said, I know you love her, Lord. And I said, I'm just playing, but God, I just release healing right now. I thank you for your kingdom come on this wrist. I thank you, Lord, for full healing. All pain leave right now in Jesus' name. I said, all right. She goes, thanks so much. I said, no, I want you to test it out. I said, I want you to test it out. She goes, oh, okay. So she starts unstrapping her brace. And the reason we test it out is the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So faith actually requires action. And so I'm getting her to test it out and putting action to it. And so she takes it off and she starts to move it. She goes, oh yeah. And some dude walks past and he goes, oh, is this religious stuff? And all of her friends go, shut up, she's getting healed. And she starts moving her thumb around. She goes, I couldn't do that before. Like, I don't feel any pain there. It's fully numb. Like, oh, that's really awesome. She said, I used to go to a youth ministry when I was younger, but I stopped going years ago. And I said, well, Eve, this is your reminder that God hasn't forgotten about you. He loves you, he sees you, and he's got a great plan and purpose for your life. Releasing the kingdom. She started to tear up a little bit, but when we demonstrate the kingdom, people meet the King. And God wants to set you up to be a magnet for miracles. And I just want to encourage you, it's not because of anything fancy. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be anyone great. All you have to do is share the hope that's within you because there's someone out there needing it. You don't have to convince someone to believe everything you believe. Just demonstrate the kingdom and they'll meet the King. And on the way, he can renew their mind and help them in the process of walking in the newness of life. Amen. Can we stand together this morning in the presence of God and Vanilla Chai? Let's lift our hands in this place. Come on, why don't you stretch your hands to heaven? If you're here today and you feel like maybe you haven't been letting the light shine lately, and maybe you just feel a little challenge this morning, a little prompting from the Holy Spirit to let your light shine, I want you to ask God to do that this morning. So why don't we pray this prayer? Say this after me. Say, Jesus, I thank you for everything you've done in me. I pray this morning that you would do it in someone else. Make me a magnet for miracles. Help me to let the light shine on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and maybe you've never really heard the gospel preached before, or you've never heard of the good news that Jesus offers us, but you did this morning and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, then I want to encourage you, come and see me after the service. I'm going to be walking around the front here for a little bit. I'd love to say hello to you, get to meet you. And if you've never really chosen to follow Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. And I'd love to have a chat with you and show you how. And so why don't we worship this morning? If you need prayer for anything, feel free to come down during worship. We're going to close the service here. We're going to sing a song, open up tea and coffee, go buy some plants in the foyer. But if you need prayer for anything this morning, feel free to come down. If you want to chat, come and see me. Love to. God bless you, family. Have an amazing week. Go and let your light shine.